This is the Extraordinary Life Podcast with Archbishop Sam Amaga, bringing you the word of faith and the power of the Holy Ghost.
We are on a journey of dismantling the spirit of hardship. There are seasons happening all over the world, but God has his own program. Amen. I want us to look at the book of Isaiah chapter 60. It's a very familiar scripture. Isaiah chapter 60. Amen. And we do read from verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 60, verse number 1. Let's read it. 1, 2, read, everyone. Arise. Shine. That means until you rise, you can't shine. Amen. What happened to most church people is they want God to do everything. God has prepared the platform. The blessings are there already. He only gives you, you need to discover the keys through wisdom and knowledge. Applying the various wisdom keys, you will begin to shine. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. So the light is there. In spite of darkness covering the earth, for the people of God, the light is come. Can you say to somebody, I don't care about what is happening now. God has a program for me. It's time to rise. Wake up from slumber. Wake up from complaining. In the name of Jesus, I will. Amen. Those of you who follow the post I've been doing through this week, it's encouraging believers to challenge the darkness around. It's encouraging believers to get out of the bed of slumber and complaining with them. Their program does not necessarily mean your program. Amen. Praise God. Now, look at that scripture. It said, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Verse number 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. And I don't want you to think it's only Nigeria this is happening. The oil price has slumped. It's not only Nigeria, it's all over the world. Can you imagine that the nation they call the richest nation is owing $20 trillion? That's the nation they call the richest nation on the earth. I don't know how it is still the richest. It's the richest in terms of debt. $20 trillion. I don't mean $20 billion. $20 trillion multiplied by 340 naira. How many trillion naira is that? Or quadrillion? That's the richest nation on earth. That tells you your world, your present world is a debtor world. Amen? If your richest nation is $20 trillion in debt. And God says, at such a time like this, gross. Let me hear you say gross. Gross darkness is the kind of darkness that brings confusion. That's the kind of darkness that covered Egypt. Now, men could not see their very front. It was such a gross darkness, gross confusion. But the Bible says, in the midst of this, the glory of God shall rise upon you. Now, it didn't say upon everybody. It's upon those who locate the wisdom keys and pursue God passionately to do the wisdom keys. Faith has made us have a common heritage in Christ. When you came out of the world and you came to Jesus, you have common heritage. But the difference is, who is the one seeking heaven passionately? Who is the one seeking God with a whole heart? He says, if you seek me, you shall find me. Praise God. And what happened when you find him? He said, there's riches and honor by my side that I give it to you. Praise God. Whether a student, married person, single, if you seek me, God says, you shall find me. On a time like this, when it's all over the world, governments are complaining, individuals are complaining, companies are, this is a time to do more covenant. This is the time to locate the covenant keys of heaven. Praise God. And press some covenant scriptures before God. You keep doing it. Let's look at scriptures and you discover if you get God involved, the world will watch you helplessly rise to heights. You know what I mean? I mean helplessly. They will be so helpless about your rising. Now, they are not. They are wondering, why is this happening all around? Why are these people different? Look at somebody say, the world will watch you helplessly rise. That means there's nothing they can do about your rising. You rise so high in spite of the hard times everybody is experiencing. We are not ignoring the hard times, but we are saying it is not new. If God had conquered it in the lives of some people before, he will always do it again. Praise God. Can I hear you say, I'm the next person who shall have the testimony? Please, the problem with God is not the hard time. The problem with the church is locating what God did before, what people of God did before, and conquer their own hard times. That's where wisdom and knowledge is a must. You cannot be casual now with the word of God and think it just falls from heaven. Manners is not manners. Praise God. God gave manners to Israel for 40 years. By the time manna dried up, and he said, now it's time for them to use your faith. And the dispensation we're in is a dispensation of faith. And the book of James says, faith without works will be what? Dead. Your light will shine. Your light will shine.
Amen.
Your story shall be celebrated.
Amen.
When we put this face of darkness behind us, you know, clouds come in their waves. Clouds come in their waves. Is that right? Now, if you're flying the aircraft, a cloud is coming, and you zoom through that, and you know, the wave is gone. You go for a while, another wave of cloud is coming. Cloud come in their waves. So the prophetic darkness come in their waves. But every wave raise some covenant people. Another wave comes, some covenant people rise. Another wave comes, some covenant people rise. Praise God. Praise God. It is such time that makes real difference between the people in covenant with God and people who are casual with God. Covenant means you have this unbreakable agreement with God. Covenant means you have this tenacious followership heart with God. Covenant means nothing breaks your love, no circumstance, rain or sunshine. Hard times or not. Now, people who fall into that category, the book of Proverbs tell us what their ending shall be. Say to somebody, I will not abandon my covenant with God. Let me say that very loud. Let me say that very loud. Let's look at the historical, biblical historical perspective. In Genesis chapter 6 and 7, we know there was this hard time that covered the whole earth. It was such a deadly hard time. Deadly. Families swallowed up. But in the midst of that, God will locate somebody in covenant. The Bible says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And at the end, in chapter 9, God made greatness out of Noah's family. God shall make greatness out of your family.
Amen.
God shall make greatness. What was it that made Noah different? When everybody was perishing, Noah was a tenacious follower. When everybody was showing wickedness, everybody was showing lousiness towards God, Noah was a tenacious follower. And God says, this one cannot be drowned with them. This one cannot be drowned with them. There are things that happen that makes heaven urgent to bless his own people. But unfortunately, not everybody is positioned with God to be blessed. Now, hear this. The moon you see does not have light at all. You say, what? What is it that gives us that blissful shining? The moon does not have light. Only the sun has such intensity of light. The moon is a wise planet. The moon just rotates and positions itself in an angle to the sun. The sun hits it with harsh light. The planet moon reflects that to the earth with cool light. Amen. It's only on planet earth you are seeing the moon. No. If there are people on that planet, they will also see it. Praise God. Astronauts in space, they see the moon as well. Now, the moon does not have light. The moon only positions itself to the sun. Sun, look at me. This your ray will hit me and I will reflect it to people. They think I'm the one who has the light. And the Bible says, the sun of righteousness shall arise with healings in his wings. Who is the sun of righteousness? Now, so at such time like this, it's time to look up to the Son of Righteousness and do the things his word has said to do. Praise the Lord. Noah's family is an example of shining in the midst of darkness. Yes, you can. You can win. Say to your friend, I can win. I can win. I can win. I must win. I can win in the midst of darkness. I can win. I can triumph. I can be different. Praise the Lord. My story shall be celebrated. Praise the Lord. You can win in hard time. As students, even though your lecturers are tough, I remember a lady called Caroline many years ago. That's 1979. Thereabout, one of our lecturers said, Caroline, you refuse to sleep with me. You are not graduating from this department, economics. And Caroline said, Prof, I respect you as my lecturer, but when I am graduating, you may not be here. 6 months on, that lecturer ran into trouble with the faculty. Malpractice in examination. Set up a departmental board, a faculty board, and he just simply packed his luggage in the night and fled. Caroline graduated with a second class upper. Caroline, you shall not graduate. Caroline, I know that this thing is not new, but species are different. If you are dealing with amoeba, your amoeba is different from bacteria.
I say the person you are dealing with may be different. You may have succeeded in harassing, intimidating, and failing other students, but not Caroline.
He said, Prof, the time I'm graduating, you may not be here. 6 months on, Prof was not in that school.
This darkness, this tough time shall pass by, and you shall stand strong.
I'm not hearing somebody who understands what I'm talking about here. Amen. In Genesis chapter 12, I want us to read just verse 1 and 2 of Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Now the Lord said to Abraham, what? Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, right? Verse number 2. And I will make thee what? A great nation. And I will bless you. And I'll make thy name great. And that shall be a blessing. I'll bless you. You will be a blessing. I'll bless you. So God's purpose first of blessing you is so you can become a blessing. So you can become a blessing. Now, when God gave this promise to Abraham, lo and behold, tough time was just looking at Abraham in the face. Abraham had a choice to obey God, follow him, seek him, and walk through that dark, tough times and become great, just like God has said. Now, everything the Lord has promised in scriptures can be fulfilled only in the lives of those who press the covenant keys. Understand this. That's why the stories of people in church differ. Praise God. The stories of people in church differ. Because some are pressing covenant keys, others are watching. Now, I said to somebody many years ago, Abraham may not have been the first person God wanted to separate, but Abraham was the first to obey God. So his story was different. Praise God. In chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2, here is the instruction, here is the promise. Instruction, promise. Instruction, promise. But how is the fulfillment of the promise going to come? The seed of your blessing is in the instructions you obey. The seed of your blessing is in the instructions you obey. Abraham, get up. Go. I will. That's God saying. Now, I will means conditional to your obeying the instruction. So the blessing of God stops in the last place of your obedience. The flow of your blessing stops in the last place of your obedience. Amen? Amen? Such hard times make people of God disobey God and disobey the word. That's the ministry of hard time, to make you just not focus on doing the word anymore. Praise God. But the blessing, the flow of the blessing, every obedience, even in hard time, triggers a flow. Every obedience, even in hard times, triggers a flow. Praise God. God speaking, he said, he will bless even those that seek him with all of their heart. All of their heart. Praise God. All of their heart. Now look at that scripture. Verse number 10. Verse 1, instruction. Verse 2, the promise. Verse 10, the famine. Look at verse number 10. And there was what? In the land. Now, Abraham wouldn't have known why God was giving instruction. But if you obey God, God was going to take him through this famine. Sometimes the Lord wants us to take certain steps. Your small mind can't understand it. But your obedience to the instruction will lead you through every darkness and bring you forth shining. Amen. Amen. Now listen, in verse number 10, let's read that. And there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there, and he would discover another cloud of famine came in chapter 26. And Isaac wanted to go to Egypt again. So you see, there are many steps. God said, Isaac, stop. You are not going to Egypt. We'll talk about that later. Let's focus on Abraham now. Now, and there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was what? The famine was what? The famine was what? The famine was what? Because of 5 naira, somebody killed his brother. How many of you? You didn't read that. 5 naira. He sent his brother to the grave. 5 naira. This grievous famine, I'm telling you. Now, give us message translation of that scripture. You understand exactly what the Bible is saying. The message translation of verse 10. Message translation. Praise God. We should have various translations that regularly use uploaded the message translation. I want us to pick certain word. What the word of God is saying here. Amen. Well, while we're waiting for that, we can be going on if you find it. Amen. So we're saying that it could be that grievous. It could be that grievous. Now, the message translation is supposed to be saying something like, there was a famine, came to the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to live. It was hard famine. That's the language. Hard. It was hard famine. And that's why I keep saying, you can win even in the hard times. Amen. It was hard. Hard on people. Hard on families. Hard on students. Hard on children. But chapter 13 tells us something quickly. Look at chapter 13 of Genesis. I'm trying to say that hard times is not new. It's always been there, but people have triumphed. Praise God. Now, chapter 13, I want us to read this together, every one of us, very loud. Chapter 13. And Abraham went out of Egypt. Listen, Egypt, a nation. Egypt, a spiritual type of the world you live in. Abraham came out of that hard time. In the world they live in. Oh, somebody, don't pick this thing away. And Abraham went out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him in the south. Verse number 2. Look at how Abraham came out. Verse 2. And Abraham was very rich. Excuse me. The Bible says it was hard. But Abraham is coming out of hard times very rich. In cattle, in silver, and in gold. That's how their wealth was measured in those days. How many heads of cattle? Amen. And some people still measure wealth that way anyway. They say, I have 1 million heads of cattle. And they had gold. Wealth is still measured, of nations are still measured in gold anyway. Amen. Abraham was coming out of this hard time. Can't you see this thing is not new? And can't you see that some people are always winning in hard time? Get upset to seven people. Help me preach. You are the next to win in this hard time. Amen. 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 Simply put, what you need is knowing how to seek God, knowing how to be in the right place at the right time. That's what you need to win, even in hard times. Abraham knew what time to be in Egypt. He knew what time to leave Egypt. Amen. He knew what time to be where. Because he was constantly seeking divine direction. He was constantly seeking the heart, the mind of God. He wasn't responding to the situation. He wasn't responding, reacting to circumstances around. He was being led by God. Abraham went down to Egypt, and Abraham came out of Egypt very rich. You shall be that next testimony. Your testimony shall be celebrated. Your story shall be told in the name of Jesus. Your testimony shall be celebrated. Your story shall be told. We are going to discover the covenant habits in this series that will make you come shining in hard time. There are covenant series. There are covenant habits. Somebody says, you don't determine your destiny. I want you to understand that. You don't determine your own destiny. No, you don't. Hard times have always been there, but you don't determine your destiny. All you determine are your habits. And your habits automatically determine what destiny you come out with. All you determine are your what? Your habits. And the habits you form will automatically determine your destiny. But how do you form a habit? That's what I need to let you know. Amen. Who you are, where you are, is entirely a function of what habits you form. But first, it starts from sowing a thought. What do you sow first? What do you sow first? When you sow a thought, you reap action out of your thoughts.
Because you don't take any action until you have thought over it again and again. Your actions are products of your thinking. Is that okay? Now, so you, when you sow a thought, you reap an action. And when you sow actions, you just reap habits. What you keep doing again and again become a habit. Is that right? And when you sow habits, you just reap a destiny. Because habits, your habits form your character. Your character form your destiny. First of all, sow what? A thought. Somebody say a thought. Number one, you just sow a thought. I said, you don't determine your destiny. Abraham came out of the hard times very rich, very blessed. You don't determine that. You only determine what you do. What you do is going to determine God's response to you. Now, but what you do begins from your thought. Amen? It begins from your thought. Number one, sow a thought and you reap an action. Number two, sow an action and you reap habit. Habits are the things you do again and again. It becomes sometimes even involuntary. Sometimes you don't even know why you are doing it. Amen? Because you have formed a habit. Some form good habits. Some form wrong habits. And their outcome is always different. That's why I say you don't determine your destiny. Whether hard time or good time. What you determine are the thoughts. When you master your mind, you can always win. When you master your mind, you can always win. As long as you allow wrong thoughts running through your mind, you are already beginning to sow. You are going to reap an action out of that. Your action will be determined by the way you are thinking. And the action you are putting on is going to determine your habits. And your habits are going to determine your character. And your character will determine your outcome. Amen. Praise God. Sow a thought, reap an action. Number one. Number two, sow an action, reap a habit. Number three, sow habit and you reap character. Number four, sow character and you reap destiny. You got it down? If you have gotten it down, let's go over it one time. I'm insisting, I'm stopping here because what I've told you will determine your outcome the next many weeks of this teaching. If you are going to understand it, if it's going to benefit you, these four sentences is, if you like, the engine room of this aircraft of blasting away hard times in your life, giving you the winning ticket. So that's so crucial. That's why I'm surrounding it. Say to me, sow a thought, reap an action. Have you ever seen a person go to steal before without thinking about it? He just got up and went and stole. He said, I didn't even think about it. No, he sat down, he meditated, he even planned that action. That thought became an habit, an action. Okay? And if he keeps thinking that way, he keeps behaving that way, he forms a habit. That habit will determine his character. That character will determine his outcome. That's why some people end up in jail and others don't go to jail at all. It's all summarized in this. Sow a thought, reap. Sow action, reap. Sow habits, reap. Sow character, reap a destiny. So you cannot blame God or blame any man for your destiny. Your destiny, go back up, is a product of the character you formed. The character is a product of the habits you formed. How can you be sleeping till 10 o'clock in the morning and expect a breakthrough in life? You form a lazy habit. And the Bible says the one that has formed a lazy habit, poverty will knock at his door like an armed robber. Because he formed a lazy habit. Awolowo said something many years ago. He said the reason his colleagues can never catch him up in terms of wealth is because while they are snoring, 4 a.m. every morning he has his first cup of coffee. And before they wake up, the man is not even meditating scriptures. He's only planning and strategizing. Say, before they wake up, he has had his plan for the day, the strategy of his accomplishment for the week. Before they wake up, the first action of his day is ready, and his wife, Hannah, is it Hannah? Until 90, she was still waking up 4 a.m. They formed a habit, and habit delivered well to their hand, destiny. There's no prayer that can change your destiny until you change your thinking pattern. No prayer can change it. No fasting can. First, your destiny is determined by your character. Your character is determined by your habits. Your habits is determined by your actions. Your actions are determined by your thoughts. And that's where Jesus began to say, a good tree cannot produce corrupt fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree produce. So be careful the people you are around, my friend. One of the covenant keys I'm going to show you that will either make you or mar you permanently is your association. There's nothing God can do about it. You chose them. It's part of your choice in life. And every choice and decision has intentional and unintended consequences. So if we just walk by the word, oh my God, I can't see any one of you fail. Hallelujah. No. You are going to begin to bombard your brain with the word of God. Right thinking, right action. Right action, right habit. Right habit, right character. Right character, right destiny. You can't miss it. You can't miss it. So now, what you are thinking is not a hard time. What you are thinking is a breakthrough. What you're thinking are the promises of God. What you're thinking is, how do I press? Listen, many years ago, somebody was misbehaving so badly. When Kwara State, at that time, and I was in Kwara College of Technology, that is early 70s. And he was misbehaving because he thought all powers were in his hand. And I said, this man should know there are some covenant buttons in Isaiah. If we press on Isaiah covenant buttons, he's in trouble. Misbehaving against the church. They said, they that rise against you shall fall for your sake. Those are some Isaiah covenant buttons. He said, you shall seek them, you shall not find them. That means they are dead. It wasn't too long, less than 6 months, when he was gone. Did we press the covenant button? No, we didn't. But covenant button worked automatically. There are some that are auto-set. That's the same way the blessings have auto-set. Amen? Now let me show you the blessings that are auto-set. Deuteronomy chapter 28. There are blessings, covenant blessings that are auto-set. So all you need is to know these four laws. Four covenant laws. If I guide my thinking, I'll produce right action. If I guide my action, I'll produce right habit. If I guide my habits, I'll produce right character. If I guide my character, I'll produce right destiny. No devil can take it from you. Praise God. Praise God. Now that helps you to understand the mystery of prayer. You are coming to God in fellowship. Because you are one with him as a child of God. He that loves me, my father will love him. And we will come and make our abode with him. So when you see him, you see us. So when I go to pray, I'm praying, I'm communing with my father on the same level because Jesus is on the same level. Heirs of Christ, heir with Christ, co-heirs. Equal hair with Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm set on the right hand of my father. If I'm equal hair with Jesus, you cannot separate me from him. Wherever he is seated, that's where I am seated.
Thank you for listening to the Extraordinary Life Podcast with Archbishop Sam Amago.